This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's a big game, but I'm kind of with you. Like, it's a playoff game, and it's the second round. It's not like I'm blowing it off, but
chilling.
Worst case scenario, outside of injury, they lose.
Super excited,
right?
But chilling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's just not a lot of angst around this one. Maybe there is for you. I get it, but I think tonight's the best kind of night. Something great could happen, and nothing awful can happen.
Yeah,
that's great. I mean, I don't want to say that out loud and sound like I'm jinxing it, right?
No,
like,
but
I don't want another injury to happen.
Of course. That would be awful.
But here's what I mean by a gravy game and a gravy series, quite frankly. It does not mean that I'm just like, okay, Warriors lose. Oh, well, on to the summer. That's not my vibe. That's not how I'm doing this at all. There's still plenty of intensity about this. But it is managing these two words, hope versus expectation. Now, maybe, and I know you've answered this a couple of times this week by saying this, maybe you weren't expecting the Warriors to win, even with Steph Curry. But I think majority of Warrior fans, after what this team has done over the last 12 years, majority of Warrior fans, they like to swagger into the room. Oh, I'd like to see you beat Steph Curry and Draymond Green in a series.
They don't want to face us in the playoffs.
Go ahead and show me, Thunder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Show me that you can actually do that, because people don't usually do that. They usually don't do that. Well, now they don't have to. The Minnesota Timberwolves don't have to beat the Warriors with Steph Curry. They just need to beat the Warriors with Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler. And that's different. And so, for me, any expectation that you felt has left town, and you can be mad at that. That may not describe you. That's fine. But those are very, very different emotions. I hope the Warriors can win. I am cheering for the Warriors to win. I am optimistic that they can still make noise here. But you know this about me. I hate the word expectation. It ruins stuff. It just does. When you go in with massive, lofty expectations and they're not met, you come out all upset. And that's sort of where I'm at. I've promised two things now in these playoffs. One, I will never get mad at Buddy Hield again. And two, I ain't going to be mad at him no matter what happens. I can't be frustrated or surprised or any of those things with a basketball team in the NBA playoffs that cannot or does not win when it's ultra, uber, super duper, international iconic superstar isn't playing. He isn't playing. Expectation left town. It's gone.
Yeah, for me, I still have expectation because you've got two other Hall of Famers and you've got a team against whom you're up 1-0. And so you've got home court. No matter what happens tonight, you've got the home court advantage. Yep. And I do look at your team, and your calling card has been your defense. And Steve Kerr, every time he joins us, and he joined us yesterday, and he comes on every week exclusively in this market on 95.7 The Game, he talks about how they're the number one defense since they got Jimmy Butler. And you lose Steph Curry, and I do believe that you still are a number one caliber defense in the association, even if you don't have Steph Curry. So you just have to go about winning these games in a different fashion. And I know you're an underdog, and you were going into the series even before Steph got hurt, but you've got a one-game lead, and you have a way to go about and win a game or two games or maybe three without Steph. I don't know when he's coming back. If he's coming back, nobody knows that. But I look at what you have, and you have enough to beat Minnesota. I firmly believe that. So okay, I'm going to have expectations. And if they don't do it, it doesn't mean I'm going to be gutted or call for firings or rip people. I'm not going to change my expectations just because Steph Curry went out.
That's fine. And so there's a little bit of a difference there with how we're looking at it. Again, and somebody just hit us on the Boxner and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line and said, Willard, have some faith. Again, don't use the wrong word. I have plenty of faith. I have belief. I have hope. I have optimism. I have strength. All of these things that you use when you're rooting for your team. I do not have expectation. That's totally different. Expectation. Think about that word now. Like the expectation you have of people when they're around you, whether it's family members, whether it's those you work with. You know what I mean? Like you being here today, that's an expectation. I expect you to be here today. But like, I'm not going to put that word on a lot of things, especially like, for instance, I think last week you did miss the show because Milo was sick, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's like expectation leaves town.
Yep.
You got something going on. Now, we're not expecting that anymore. We're going to hope. We're going to hope that Milo gets better. And we're going to hope that Dibs gets back the next day.
Oh, she's better.
Great. And you only missed one show. That's great. It turns into hope rather than expectation. And that's all I'm saying about the Warriors. I still have hope, but I'm not going to expect anything. And quite frankly, those of you who are parading around with a flag on your car, I never wavered. Stop. If I had thrown this at you a week ago, you'd have cried just like Steph did.
I shared a bunch of the tweets that people were sending me after the Game 6 loss, and because I sent out, hey, how you feeling, Warriors, after that? And it's like, no chance, zero, it's over. Giants, summer, Cancun. Like, I got a whole litany of people who had given up, and then they win Game 7, and now our expectations are back. So I do believe that all of this is fleeting, and my expectations are not as high as they would have been if Steph was still here, but I'm not just going to say, well, I mean, it's over. They're going to lose in five.
And I'm not saying that either.
I know you're not, but I do believe that this becomes a big-time test for Draymond, Jimmy Butler, and Steve Kerr in particular. Figure out how you can get this group without Steph to get this done.
Yeah, and actually, the sort of way that we normally fan, to me, it morphs a little bit into intrigue. Like, that's how I'm approaching tonight's game. I'm a little intrigued more than I am, like, excited. LFG, let's get some drinks and scream. I'm more like, I wonder how they're going to approach this. Who is going to start? How are you going to attack the basket? All of those things. A little bit more, just take a step back, you know, pretend you're in a parachute and you're just looking down on the game. And I wonder, how are you going to approach it? And maybe they find some lightning in a bottle. Maybe Buddy goes for 30 again. I don't know. But I sort of look at it that way because everything they are, the whole eye of the storm is gone. So they got to rebuild your city.
You totally.
You have to rebuild the whole thing. Dub Nation, let's get engaged before we go to the calls, okay? We do it before every game. Vote in our engaging Dub Nation poll on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page. This is brought to you by Shane Coe, your friend and jeweler. You'll find the Bay Area's best selection of unique engagement rings and their unmatched free lifetime warranty. And boy, that really can come in handy. Visit ShaneCo.com today. Here's the question today. With Steph Curry out and going to miss at least three games, and there's no guarantee he'll play again in this series at all, So if he misses the rest of the series or even most of it, easy question, yes or no, can the Warriors win the series? Can the Warriors win the series without Steph? Yes or no? Go vote in the poll on the 95.7 The Game Twitter page now, and we'll have the results. We'll check in on that a little bit later in the show. Let's go to the phones. Jonathan is in Mariners Point. I used to play a lot of nine holes there once upon a time. Hi, Jonathan. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going? That last little back and forth is exactly why I have Willard in the 95.7 power rankings and where I have Dibs where he is. So thank you for that.
I don't know if you can say that question without telling us what your power rankings are, Jonathan.
I have a feeling that I'm pretty low on the rankings, Jonathan. Go ahead.
Dillard, Dibs, what I love about you is you have the attitude of a six-year-old with a toddler, and I appreciate it. So my rankings would go Shafty, Willard, Steiny, Goo, Dibs, and then it's still out on Spadoni. I just miss Bonte so much.
That's fair. That's fair. Wow. What the hell do you love so much about Shasky? I'm kidding, Jonathan. Go. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh.
And then it got
Hello?
Loud.
Yeah. Still there?
Yeah, now we got you again, Jonathan. You turned into the ocean for a minute. Go ahead.
Oh, well, that's where my last ball went. Did you get my power rankings?
Yeah, we got them.
All right, so here's my question. This is why I love sports. This is going to be about who steps up. You don't know who, just like we didn't think Buddy would. My question, though, is if they can only win one of the next three, which is the most important? Is it going home and up 2-0, but that means you're down 2-2 after our home games? You take game three, which means you split at home, a lot of pressure on game five on the road. In the same scenario, you need to win that game four to go back split to Minnesota. So of the three, which is the most important that they win?
Okay.
It's game four.
Thanks, Jonathan.
And thank you, Jonathan.
Why is it game four?
Because then you'd at least have momentum, quote unquote, heading to Minnesota for game five. I think that if you win tonight, and I'm just making light of momentum, but you win tonight and then you go home and you lose two in a row,
yeah,
the feeling among the fan base anyway, the players don't care about these feelings, but the fans would be like, oh boy, you know, you stole a couple in Minnesota and you can't win at home. Oh, geez, woe is us. But if you lose tonight, I think it's kind of a telegraphed loss. Game three, oh boy, you didn't quite get it done. And then game four, you right the ship. For me as a fan, I would feel the best about a 2-2 split with a game four win.
I'll agree that the answer is definitely not tonight, because if you go up 2-0 on the road and then you go home for two games and gaff that opportunity away,
yep,
that would suck. That would be a gut punch. So I don't think it's that. I guess my answer beyond that, though, is I don't care. I don't care if it's game three or four. If you come home and split the games at home, doesn't really matter to me which one. You made momentum. I know you said you're making light of momentum.
Right. There is no momentum.
There is no momentum. Like, one game does not affect the next. So I don't know. I guess I'll go with you for this reason. If you lose tonight and then you were to win game three, you're, again, you know my rule, the pivotal games are the even-numbered games.
Right.
That means each time that you had an opportunity to really take control of the series, you didn't do it. You didn't do it tonight, and then you didn't do it in game four. And so I don't know that would feel great. Yeah, I guess you would feel best if the answer was game four. But largely my answer is doesn't matter. It's either three or four, but it's got to be one of those, not tonight. Like, even in this situation, if you go up 2-0 and then come home and hand it right back to them, that would suck. No matter who's in the lineup.
Yeah, no doubt. I think you're right about that, about the lineup and you know, what that would feel like. And again, 2-2 is 2-2. And if you are in a series where it is 2-2, well, now you've given back home court and you've got to win two of the last three, including one in Minnesota for sure. So that becomes more difficult, especially if you don't have Steph Curry. And I don't know, nobody really knows when Steph could potentially be back. The thought is he'll be reevaluated after next Wednesday or for next Wednesday, which would be ahead of game five. I don't know if he'd be ready to play in that game. Maybe he can go Sunday in game six. Something I heard, and I wasn't sure if you heard it or Grandy, if you know the exact answer to this, but is Steph Curry going to stay in Minnesota? And I know that they're leaving tonight as a team. Is he just going to stay?
He was just staying with the team through game two. And he'll fly back with the team.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I heard Joe's talking about this morning about whether or not he's going to be on the bench. I'm sure he's still with the team. I think what's significant for fans is whether or not he's actually going to be on the bench, either sharing his thoughts to the players as they go out there, or also, of course, like, it just makes fans feel good. They want to see Steph Curry. You want to see him out there with them.
I don't know for sure, but I think he will be. He was out there at shoot-around rebounding for Draymond and others.
Great.
Or passing to them.
Great.
But, yeah.
Just what I heard today about somebody mentioning that he was going to stay in Minnesota, I wasn't sure if that meant that he was going to stay there through games 3 and 4. That way he didn't have to fly and, you know, have his hamstring be on a plane.
I guess I haven't heard for sure that he's flying back, but I haven't heard otherwise. Okay. So I assume he's going to fly back with the team.
Yeah. Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line 925. This is absolutely ridiculous. Dibs has been absolutely crushing since the Rise Guys days. Dibbers is number one.
Go ahead and lock that up. I mean, put that on the board.
I wanted to help you rebound.
I don't need to rebound.
I know you don't need
number
it.
Number one.
Jonathan from Mariners Point. Let's just see how this went. San Francisco, San Mateo, and Steiny. Like, that's his top three? I would defy you to find another human being who has that as his top three power rankings on the station. Where, that's all.
San Francisco? You lost
Shasky. Me.
Oh, got it.
So a Peninsula guy favored a city guy and a fellow Peninsula guy, and then the ultimate curmudgeon? Okay, Jonathan, your power rankings can be your own. I don't share those as my top three.
Don't tell me you didn't need a pick-me-up. I know you didn't need a pick-me-up. Like, Mother's Day is this weekend. They don't need a gift, but you get them one.
I mean,
you get them one because it makes them feel good. You get them and you show some respect to your mom.
If I had one.
Well,
thanks.
Thanks for taking it in that direction.
Talking about your wife, Dibs.
Good Lord, yeah, exactly.
Slap some flowers on your urn, Mom. There you go. Happy Mother's Day.
I've told you this story before.
Just.
I'm going to leave the name of the former 49er out of the conversation.
Okay.
But you know how we like to do the big finish.
Oh, yeah.
On interviews. And I did this one time I think the category was fun with food, which was one of my staple categories when I used to do this all the time. And so we're doing fun with food. And one of the questions I threw at him was, what is your favorite meal that Mom used to make? And this guy pauses and goes, see, now you didn't do enough research for this interview because my mom died when I was a little kid.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, brother man, first of all,
you better be careful.
We don't. Research like that, but I'm not going to go into your entire family tree and read your entire world history.
Don't be disrespectful.
So that we can have a conversation about the 49ers. You could have taken that anywhere. He's like, I was raised by my grandma. Great. Then what did she make? You didn't need to drive the whole thing off of the cliff and make me look like the biggest jerk in the history of mankind.
This reminds me of Jolo and Dibs. We had Mary Babers Green on a weekly. Draymond's mom. So Lo Neal's doing this whole Thanksgiving setup. And he's like, Mary, what do you like to make? Something special? Maybe it's the collard greens. Maybe it's, the turkey. What's your one signature dish for Thanksgiving that you like to make? And she's like, baby, I don't cook. Lo Neal rips the headphones off his head. And he goes like this to Joe. I'm done.
I'm out.
Like, no. You don't get to be done just because you tried to ask a Thanksgiving question. And Mary Babers Green said, oh, no, I don't cook.
Yeah.
Same thing, though.
You don't need to take it there.
I mean, yeah.
Mother's Day is still Sunday, even though your mom has passed away. May she rest in peace.
Yeah, she rest in pieces on my sister's mantle.
For crying out loud.
What? It's my mom. I can do it, okay?
I can do it.
I can riff on my mom. She's been gone for 10 years.
Oh, my God.
Yes, she rests in pieces. Millions of them on Gail's mantle.
There's only one person I love more than Deep Dive Dibs, and it's Dark Dibs.
Dark Dibs, yes.
Dark Dib.
You ask me about my dad next.
Oh, Jonathan and Mariners Point just texted in on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text
line. Number seven?
No, he said, hey, good news, Dibs, you're still in my top five.
Woohoo!
Okay.
Means a lot to me.
All right.
Mariners Point. Mariners Point's not even a place. Like,
it is a place.
It's a cemetery. It's a golf course.
Yeah, it's not a city.
And it's not a good golf course either.
Wow.
It's now, a dog Mariner's track Point with duck like, crap everywhere.
It's
I played it.
It's a little nine-holer. It's not there for good golf and collared shirts. It's there to go out there and whack it around a little bit with your friends. It's all fine.
Fighting geese.
Yeah. What's wrong with fighting geese?
Yeah, just.
I mean.
Mariner's Point.
Mariner's Point.
Get out of here.
It's windy out there, brother.
Dude. Seriously.
It's windy.
Constantly.
Windy city, Chicago, screw you. You've never been to Mariner's Point.
Did Mariner's Point have a pope? Didn't think so. Shout out Leo.
They might today. I haven't been there to see America if there's any smoke.
Yeah. 33-1, by the way, if you were in the betting markets.
Was it really?
33-1 on the American pope. Yeah. That's a win. If you thought that there was going to be an American pope and you wanted to bet it, 33-1 is a nice price.
The same thing happens when you talk pope as when you talk horse racing. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
You know that there was a betting market on who the next pope would be.
There's a betting market on everything.
Well,
there is a betting market on everything.
And I'm telling you that the market for the pope, the American pope, was 33-1.
Okay.
So if you believed in America.
I believe you. I don't even know who the hell got announced as the pope.
This Chicagoan who speaks multiple languages.
Good for him.
First ever American pope.
Yeah.
And I found out about it watching Pat McAfee. That's where we are now as an American society.
They hit the breaking news here on the roast.
Awesome.
I just dropped Jude at school and they're like, breaking news. And I'm like, oh God, who's got the HIV now?
Right.
Like, who's sick for the Warriors today? And Spadoni's like, no, we got a pope. Oh my God, back to music. I'm trying to listen to this.
Shout out Leo. Anyway.
Do we have time?
Yep.
Oh, we do. Okay, good. Let's go to Mike in Alamo. Hi, Mike. What's up? Thanks for calling. Mike? All right.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Mike choked on the open net. Let's go to Wes in Castro Valley. Hi, Wes. What's up?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yes,
Wes.
We can.
All right, guys. Why do I have that feeling? First of all, I love your show.
Thank you.
I listen to it every day.
Where do you rank Dibs? Never mind. Go ahead, Wes.
Why do I have that feeling that they're going to try to face guard what's his name? Butler.
Yeah, Jimmy.
And how will he react to that? Second, what do you think about how the refs is gonna call when Anthony Edwards attacked the rim? Because I feel like he's gonna do that all night. How do you guys feel about that? Thank you for taking my call, guys.
Okay, Wes. Thank you very much. So I think if I got the questions straight, A, how will Jimmy Butler handle, basically when he says face guarded, I think he means like if they're fronting him down low, And then how will the referees handle Anthony Edwards, who is going to attack the basket with reckless abandon? I like, do you have some ref-alytics for tonight?
Yeah, we're starting to do the deep dive on it. You do have Tony Brothers, who is the crew chief, and he's a guy who's been doing
He's good.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
And even though the ref-alytics in game one indicated a home heavy whistle, it didn't matter because Minnesota couldn't make a basket.
Right.
So we can do ref-alytics all we want, and it only matters, I think, if the game is close or if the game gets officiated a certain way. But when you get to this level, the playoffs, you know that every single ref on every crew is a former crew chief or a current crew chief. So you don't get any of these weak sticks who are refereeing.
Also, as far as Jimmy Butler being fronted, they do that a lot. They've been doing that a lot in both of these series. And I know that is a difficult entry pass, but that's going to be key. The Warriors have got to take care of the basketball. And so some people who don't normally handle the ball are going to have to handle the ball a little bit more. Brandon Pajemski, Buddy Hield, like they're going to have to do some things down there. But the other side to it is, look, I'm sure the Warriors are going to have an approach to this. And Jimmy Butler ranks right up there with the smartest players in the game with the ball in his hand. I don't know if it'll work. I do know that they will have a plan. They will have a plan. And if they can keep this thing under 12 turnovers, I think they'll have a chance to win the basketball game.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.